don't know if you can believe it, but we are like 15 days away from Christmas, and that is a little scary. I don't know. Scary because I don't have everything done, and I'm sure that you don't have everything done yet either. You don't have all the gifts bought or all that kind of stuff. But I can tell you this. I think what happens a lot of times for us during the holiday season is we get distracted, and we need a message that's greater than the distractions that we're facing. We need a message that is bigger than whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is that I'm dealing with. In fact, I think what happens is we miss the Christmas message completely. We make it romanticized as if there's this Jesus in a manger and there's this bright glow of this warm light, and in the frigid night air, you have these characters that are all hovered around keeping their hands warm next to Jesus because he's got this warm glow. That's what it kind of feels like, all right? It's kind of a Hallmark movie, if you would. The problem is whenever we make Jesus a Hallmark movie, it's something that we are spectators of. It's something that we look at. It's something that we desire, but it's not something we ever experience. In fact, it's kind of like when you look at a Christmas card and it has snow and horses pulling sleds and things like that. You kind of look at it and you go, man, that's the kind of Christmas I want. The problem is, we live in Southern California or Central California, and in Central California, there are no horses pulling sleighs or anything like that. And if you actually lived where it was cold and there was horses pulling sleighs, it's not that romanticized. People don't enjoy it that much. That's just how they got around. We kind of look at it and go, man, that would be so great. Here's what I'm saying. I think that we miss the Christmas message for the imagery of everything. And Jesus never becomes real in our lives. We never experience the purpose of why Jesus came. The reason I'm doing this series is I know that Christmas can be a very volatile season. It can be a very turbulent season, actually. In fact, what I think happens is it magnifies our current condition. I think Christmas magnifies your current condition, whatever it is that you're in. In other words, it's like this. If things are going on well inside of you and the holidays come, you are doing exceptionally well. Things are really good. But if there's some things that are going on in your life that it's not good, if you're not in a good place, when the holidays come, it makes it that much worse. It makes whatever's going on in our lives bigger, more profound, more of an obstacle or more of a weight that we carry. I think many people miss why Christmas is so important. And I want to start with a verse that we have dealt with and we'll probably read, well, we will read it every week throughout this series. It's found in Matthew chapter 1, and it starts with verse 20. I'm going to read it. This is a part of the Christmas story. You might recognize it, but this is an angel speaking to Joseph, and it goes like this. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Man, that's Jesus' purpose, to save us from our sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. We talked about this last week, but this is Isaiah. This is a quote from Isaiah's prophecy, and it says this, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, the angel says, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That is this Christmas message that we can't afford to miss. You cannot afford to miss the message that God is with you personally. Three things that you can write on your notes if you want to. Three things that God makes very clear to Joseph. First one is this, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God is still with you, is what he's saying. Next thing he says is, don't give up. While Joseph wanted to quietly put his fiance off and to say, listen, this isn't my child. I don't know how she's pregnant. I'm just going to end this marriage. The angel says, don't give up. Follow through with the plan. Keep going. Another thing the angel tells Joseph is this, don't forget who's in control. God has a purpose, even for this. Even in this chaos that they're in, and if you don't know the Christmas story, like if you read, there's two different Christmas stories. They both talk about the same account. They both kind of give it from two different perspectives. The one in Luke is kind of the Christmas card one. It's, you know, angels coming down and singing and everything's all pretty and all that. Matthew is not so pretty. Matthew's is giving the chaos, the more real life, what's going on behind the scenes. I think this is the one that most of us will identify with more than the Luke one. But he's telling Joseph, don't forget who's in control, even in this chaos. And I hope we get this today, that Christmas is important because we need to be reminded, all of us do, we have to be reminded that God is with us. When we get that, when we understand that God is with us, it will change how you live. When you understand that God is with you, not just because you're in church, when you understand that when you go home, when you understand that when you're at school, when you understand that you're at work, when you understand in every place that you're at that God is personally with you, it will change how you live your life. Now, here's the deal. If you believe that a little bit, it'll change your life a little bit. Okay, don't miss this. If you believe that just a tiny bit, you will experience a tiny bit of peace in your life. When you really, truly believe it with all of your heart, you will experience huge amounts of peace in your life. It all depends on how much you choose to believe that God is with you. That's why this is so important. It changes how we live. God is not a bystander. He's not distant. He is always with us. I think it's easy for us to believe that God is with us on mountaintops. If you've never, I think for most of us, the mountaintop experience is something that we get, that God is with us during these mountaintop times. And a mountaintop is this. It's when you have a sense of great clarity in your life. It's when things seem to be just naturally falling into place. Everything just seems to be working out. It's kind of like you go to work and you get the raise and the Christmas bonus, and you didn't even ask for it. And you're like, oh man, God is so good. It's that time when you're like, the kids slept all the way through the night. They didn't once wake up. God is so good. Or maybe you're going to work or you're going shopping, and God opens the door, and right there in front of you is a parking spot right in the front row as you're going shopping in a crowded mall, and you didn't have to drive around, wait, or anything. You just pulled in, and there's the spot, and we naturally think, man, God is so good. That's like it's a mountaintop experience. It's great sense of clarity where everything seems to be falling right into place. I also feel like it's difficult for most of us to sense God's presence when you're in a valley. While it's easy to recognize God on a mountaintop, it is equally as difficult to recognize God in a valley. And a valley is this, a season of trials or difficulty. When you're going through a time or a season of trials where nothing seems to be falling into place, nothing seems to be working out as it should. You ever have one of those times? Anybody? Come on. There we go. Nothing seems to be working out as much as you want, as much as you try. I see that, Benjamin. Good job. You know, when we're really wanting things to work out, we're doing our best and nothing seems to be working, that's a valley experience. It's where you're constantly getting bad news. You're hurting. You're feeling alone. Or maybe it's a time of worry or a time when you're fearful. Or maybe you're just going through a battle. Maybe you're overcoming something and it's a battle that you're constantly going through. Valleys are difficult times in our lives. But here's one thing we have to remember with the valley, and that is this. It is only a season. Valleys are not designed to live in. They're not designed to be long-term. They are a season of our life, a short amount of time. The problem is in the season that we're in, it feels like it's forever. You ever feel like that? It's like it never stops. It's not just that things aren't going well, it's that they never stop going bad. And it feels like it's just carrying on and carrying on and carrying on. And truthfully, it is only a season that we find ourselves in this. Psalms 23, I've read this scripture last week. I want to read it again. But here's what it says. You might know it as the Lord's Prayer. Or I'm sorry, you might know it as this 23rd Psalms, where we say, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me." Even in this time, God leads us through valleys. And yet a lot of times what we do is we pray and we ask God, "God, you've got to remove me. You've got to get me out of this valley. You've got to help me during this time. You've got to rescue me." And we will specifically say, "God, I need you to rescue me." Well, the problem is God never rescues us from something that he has us in intentionally with a purpose. See, valleys are designed to go through. That's on your notes if you want to fill it in. What they do is they actually build your faith. They actually make you strong. They build you up. And there is a purpose in the valleys. We need the valleys in our lives to make us strong. Because strength doesn't happen when everything just comes easy. Strength happens when we are put in difficult situations. I think it's interesting how segments of our lives can be actually going really well. Like marriage can be really good, but your kids can be making really stupid choices and just causing havoc for your life. And we look at it and we go, "Man, I'm in such a valley and it's so dark and it's so difficult," when our marriage is good, but this one segment is really affecting all of us, or it's affecting you. The other part is when you might be going, "You know what, my time with God is really good, but my employment really sucks, and it's really bad, and man, it's just so dark." So here's the thing. We get into these times when we're going through valleys, and valleys are not when everything's falling apart. It's when segments of our lives are falling apart, and they become a distraction to what is going on and what God is doing in our lives. I also think it's interesting how valleys are this great opportunity for growth. They don't just increase our faith. They don't just make us strong. It's really a time of growth in our life. And you know what? It's up to you. What you do in the valley determines how you grow. It's not just like, "Oh, if I'm going to tough it out, I walk out stronger." Excuse me. I've got a cold, and I'm going to try, Bob, not to cough in the mic. I apologize. So here's the deal. You can even write this down. You might enjoy the mountaintops, but you get to know God intimately in the valleys. You might enjoy the mountaintops when everything is going really great and everything just seems to be falling into place. We love that time. It's like really good. And we just look and we say, "Man, all this stuff is happening." We might really enjoy God on the mountains, but we get to know God intimately in the valley. Getting to know God, that he comes through, that he can be trusted, that our faith is growing, that we're getting stronger. You can also write this down too. God will always, or he's going to allow valleys, so we will get to know him. If valleys are opportunities that we get to know God better, then God's going to allow valleys because he wants to get to know you. In fact, here's the thing. God created you for relationship. And not just like a standoffish relationship, not just a distant relationship. It's not just like God created you for the kind of relationship that requires intimacy. The kind of relationship that you only have with those closest to you that know you intimately, that know the details of your life. So God is going to allow the valleys because they have a purpose. It's going to help us to get to know him. And that's where we get to know him intimately. Valleys, I think, are a big part of the Christmas story. I think there's so many things going well for Mary and Joseph in this story, but they're still in a valley. And here's the thing. They really do love each other. You pick that up in the story. They're getting married. This is an exciting time in their life. They really do love each other. Hey, they're having a baby. That's always a fun time. This is something that they planned out. God has also made it clear that he is with them. So he is kind of opening these doors, but here's the problem. Things are far from good and things are far from easy in their life. And I don't know, maybe you understand that. There's some good things. I love coming to church, but you know what? My job sucks. I love coming to church and I love this thing that I feel when I'm here. I love the relationships and I love getting close to God, but you know what? My marriage is really going through a tough time. And it's really easy because we can have these good things going on in our life while we still are in the valley. That's what I want us to look at today. I think valleys are a part of life that we all experience. And I would like to encourage you, I think I wrote this down in your notes, if you can, sometime this week, sometime this season, that you would read through the Christmas story. It's found in Matthew 1, 18 through Matthew 2, 23. That you would just take the time to read it, to get this the gist of what's going on, to let God speak to you from His Word as what's going on in this story. But here's what we can learn. As we read through the story, we can learn some important lessons about the valleys that Joseph and Mary were going through. That's what I'm going to look at just really quickly. When you go through a valley, first of all, it doesn't mean that God has left you. When you personally go through a valley, it does not mean that God has left you. Matthew 28, Jesus said this, "You can be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." All throughout Scripture, God has promised us and God says, "I am with you." All throughout the Christmas story, whenever an angel is talking to Mary or Joseph, he's saying, God is in this. God is with you. So all of this, all of the story, all throughout Scripture, God is letting us know that He's with us. But a lot of times when you're in the valley, the first thing you think is, God has no longer with me. I'm alone. That's what we feel like. I said this earlier, but our barometer of God being with us tends to be how well things are going in our lives. How things are just falling into place. And when things are falling into place, well, then we go, that's when God's with us. And the truth is, that is such bad theology. In fact, if you buy into that kind of theology, it's really going to make your life difficult, because life has challenges every single day. And challenges are designed with a purpose to remind you of God being with you and strengthening you. There's nothing about the birth of Jesus that shows that that everything's fallen into place. In fact, it's just the opposite. But through the angel, God spoke to both Joseph and Mary that He would be with them. And He would be with them, and at the same time, nothing in their circumstances proved that God was with them. Nothing in their circumstances gave them the picture that God was actually with them. They had to take God at His word. I'm with you in this. Even when nothing around them showed that. Nothing was easy. Constant threat of a king out to kill them. Isolated from a foreign land of Egypt. Separated from family. And listen, you know what it's like when you're in a valley. What are the things we say? You know what? If God really loved me, He would spare me from this. If God was all loving, if God was this powerful, then He would prevent this. If God wanted to, He could have totally remove this king that was out to kill Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. You would think that God would do that, wouldn't you? He has the power to. And that's what we do. When we find ourselves in difficult situations, we kind of go, if God was really in this, He would stop it from happening. And what we're doing is we're saying, you know what? God has basically left me. I'm sure there were times of fear, and I'm sure there are times of uncertainty and discouragement, because that's what valleys do. They cause us to question God's presence. But here's what I want you to get. Valleys teach us to look for God. Valleys, they do not, just because you're in a valley doesn't mean that God has left you. Valleys teach you to look for God. When times are difficult and we think that God has left us, we stop looking for Him. But remember, we get to know God intimately in the valleys. And I wonder, Jeremiah 29 says this, "When you come looking for me," this is God speaking, "when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure that you won't be disappointed." God says, hey, if you want to find me, I'll make sure that you're not disappointed. You will find me, but you can't just look for me half-heartedly. You can't just kind of like, oh, you know what, I'm going to go see if God's there, you know. I'm going to give God 2 minutes. Okay, God, I want to know, are you real? Listen, if we want to be convinced, if you want to find God, you've got to look for Him intently as if your life depended on it. Truth is, we always find what we're looking for. And I would encourage you, look for God's activity. He is with you. Look for His activity. Here's another one. The valley also doesn't mean that you are vulnerable or that you're... When you're going through a valley, it doesn't mean that you're without protection. It doesn't mean that you are defenseless. It doesn't mean that you don't have the strength to make it through. First of all, in the Christmas story, God gives instruction and direction 5 separate times. I don't know if you realize this. 5 different times God speaks to Joseph and Mary, all of them in a dream, in their dreams, which I would say this. It does speak to the fact that God does speak to us in our dreams. You also have to be careful because it can be pizza. And so if you have pizza and you have this weird dream, it doesn't mean that's God. You have to really weigh this out. But to Joseph and Mary, God speaks separately. You don't have to be afraid. Here's the deal. If you don't know God personally, if you're separated from God, or if you don't have this intimate relationship with God, what you have is all you have. Do you get that? What you have is all that you have. But when you know God intimately, when you live in that relationship that He designed for you, you're never vulnerable because He's the one that always provides strength. You never run out of resources. In fact, let me read Isaiah 40. This is what God says about us. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. That's us. Even youths will become weak and tired. Young men will fail or fall into exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Here's another one out of Psalms 84. David says, "What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem." In other words, they've set their minds on looking for God. What you think about really does matter. And so here's the thing. Because the valleys we experience those in our lives, it doesn't mean that you're vulnerable just because you're going through a valley. It doesn't mean you don't have the strength. Valleys really do teach us to depend on God. But you're never going to learn that. We're never going to experience that on our own without the valley. The valley puts us in a difficult situation so that we say, listen, I know that God said He's going to show up, and so I'm going to trust that. I'm going to depend on God's strength. I need God's strength today. That is what we're asking for. Valleys teach us to depend on God. You know this scripture. I'll read it for you, though. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust God from the bottom of your heart, and don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one who will keep you on track." Here's another one. The valley also doesn't mean that you're not where God wants you. When times are difficult, when we go through seasons of difficulty, we tend to believe that we missed it. We tend to believe that we're not where God wants us. And usually what happens is this. Out of panic, we start thinking we've blown it. We start thinking we're not where God wants us, so we've got to find where God wants us. And we will make decisions and go different places looking for what we think is where God wants us. A lot of times, God wants us to stay right where He has us. In fact, I would say this, that most of the time, God has us right where He wants us, but we have to be listening for His direction. Even in this Christmas story, listen to what happens. Because they're running for their lives. The king is after them. The king is out to kill them. And in fact, when the king finds out that he's been duped by the wise men, the king gets so mad, he kills all of the kids, all of the firstborn males that are 3 years old and under. All the children he kills, these males, because he's so angry. He's out. This isn't just like, hey, you know what? I don't like that Joseph and Mary. I don't like that new kid that they're talking about Jesus. We need to do something about it. I mean, he's angry. And listen to what is said here to them. After the wise men were gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He says, "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said, "and then stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." God is constantly giving direction, constantly, for those who are listening. And here's the valley. What it does is it teaches us to trust God's timing. God's timing is so important, and that's one of the things we always think, you know what? We always tend to think that God is never going to show up, but God always shows up right on time. We tend to think that our timing is better than God's timing, that when we want something to happen, that's when it needs to happen. But that's not God's timing. In fact, this is talking about Jesus' birth in Galatians, and it says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." In other words, when God said it was time, it was time. Remember, last week we talked about this. The prophet spoke about this coming Messiah, that God would be with them. That was They have been waiting 740 years. 740 years for Jesus to show up on the scene. But God's timing says, this is the day, this is the moment, this is the time. God is never late. I don't know what it is that you might be going through. You might be going through a time of difficulty, and you might think, you know what, I cannot make it. Or God has to show up right now. And I'm telling you, it might feel like that. And God may have you in the pressure cooker because he's trying to perfect in you something that needs to be perfected. Trust his timing and be patient. The last one is this. The valley also doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. I think we tend to blame ourselves. Joseph and Mary, they didn't do anything wrong. I mean, Joseph, the scripture says that Joseph was this righteous man. He loved God. Mary loved God too. They didn't put themselves in this predicament. They didn't experience this because they had done something wrong. It was just the circumstances. And yet that's the deal. I think that we tend to blame ourselves. But the valleys teach us this. They teach us to trust God. When things are out of your control, when times are difficult, God wants you to know that he can be trusted. That God is with you. Connect with him. Here is a great scripture about valleys. As I close, Isaiah 43. It says, when you're in God's, this is God speaking to you, okay? This is God speaking to you about your valley, your time of difficulty. When you're in over your head, I will be there with you. Get that. Please let that sink in. When you are in over your head, I will be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you are between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God. Do me a favor, close your eyes just for a moment. God with us. It's about God with you. That is a personal God. We need a personal God. We don't need a God who's distant. We don't need a God who is far away. We don't need a God who is a spectator. We need a God who is personal, involved in every detail of our lives and knowing what's going on and caring about what's going on. Because that is what Emmanuel means. God with you. I can tell you this, if you're in a valley right now, you might need to be reminded, if this holiday season is one that is going to magnify the complexities of your life, if it's going to not put you in a good place, can I just remind you that God has not left you? That you are not vulnerable. God has given you strength. You are not defenseless. You are right where God wants you, and you've done nothing wrong. Can I please just remind you that God is setting things up for you to get to know him intimately? That's the purpose of a valley. So this morning, if you're here and you want a relationship with God, you want to begin that, that comes out of that conversation. Or maybe if you just feel like you need strength, or you feel like, you know what, I need a different perspective. I need to know that God is here. That comes out of this conversation. You might think, you know what, I don't have the strength to make it through this. I cannot do this. And I would say this, you're right, you can't. But God can. Because when we experience God intimately, his resources, his strength becomes ours. Father, I thank you for every person that is here. And while we may not understand the valleys that we're in right now, we may not understand how difficult they are and why we are actually in them, Father, I do know this for absolute certain, and that is that every valley that we go through is not by accident. You have a purpose. And that purpose is for us to get to know you intimately, to depend upon you, to trust you, to look for you, to build our faith, to make us strong. Father, I ask that you would help us, each one, to not passively endure the valley as if it were something we just have to make it through, but Father, that we could actually learn the lessons and that we can experience you in these difficult times of our lives, and that we can actually be made stronger as you designed, that we can experience your relentless love. And so for every person that is here and whatever it is that we're going through, whatever the difficulties are and the challenges that we face, Father, may we know you intimately, and may the valleys that you have us in perform in us what you desire, and may they connect us with you. In Jesus' name, amen.